All right, I want you to actually turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 26. As a way of introduction, I have that on your outline. We're going to be, of course, looking at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, famous, popular verses, and just dealing with prayer. I want to talk about peace today, but in ways getting started with this message, I want to start by going to Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, because I've talked about this before, and I think every person in the world would agree and probably say that they want peace in their life. And of course, as human beings, we try to go about trying to get that peace in different ways. People think that maybe if I have enough money, then I'll have peace. That would be the answer to all my problems. If I have enough prestige or I have the kind of job and status, maybe that'll give me peace again in some way and be able to take care of the situations. And a lot of times people go the other way and just looking to escape from, you know, some of the harshness of living on planet Earth, and they turn to drugs and alcohol and that sort of thing because they just want some idea of peace, that sort of thing. For me, you know what, it's like I like entertainment in a sense. It's like when I go to a movie, I mean, I don't care how realistic it is. I don't want it to be. I want it to be something that is just different from everyday old life. Just give me a couple of hours where I can eat my popcorn, drink my Coca-Cola, and just get lost in this movie and not think about things for a while. Because all of us, we understand that this world can throw a lot of things at us, and it can be hard to deal with, and we just want to have some sort of calm and peace and rest in our life for those things. And the way that we are going to talk about going about having that, that's a real lasting peace, of course, is through our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to spend some time in talking about Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, and seeing how we get this prescription of peace and how we can be able to have this everlasting peace in our life, even in the midst of some of the trials and tribulations that go on. Now, all of us commit that. It's like people, as I said, I think last week or last couple of weeks, people are ready to be done with 2020. It's like every time we turn around, there's a new hit. There is something. There is something that confronts us and deals with it, and it's like, oh my gosh, it can cause all kinds of anxiety and so forth. That's just the way this year has been, and we've got, you know, 3 months left, and who knows what all is going to happen. Like I said last week, I mean, there's just, who knows. But no matter what happens, what we've got to realize is that God is still on the throne, and He is the source for the peace that we need to have. If you're in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, it's one of my favorite verses. I've got a lot of favorite verses, but this is one of them. And notice what it says here. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, it says, "Thou," this is Isaiah speaking to God, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." If we want to be able to have this perfect peace, one of the source of it is God. There is no other source that will give us perfect peace. It's only God. There's nothing in this world, there's nothing in this universe, there's nothing that man has to offer that will give us perfect peace. It may be some temporary kind of peace or something like that for a little bit, but perfect peace is only going to come from God. And it says here in this verse that to be able to access and have this perfect peace, what do we need to do? We need to have our mind stayed on God. In other words, we got to continue to be thinking about God, that He needs to be in our thoughts. If we have our mind stayed on God, on Him, then we're going to have this perfect peace. Well, why is it that we're going to have our mind stayed on the Lord? Because what? What does it say at the end of that verse? Because He trusts in Him. If I'm trusting in God, that means my mind should always be on God, and guess what? I should have perfect peace. Now, either we're going to believe the word or not. And let's just be honest. The times that we are fretting and worrying about things, is our mind on the Lord at that point in time? Generally, what is it? It's on whatever that problem is. Instead of going to God with it, we just dwell on it, we try to figure out maybe in ourselves, or we just let it run us down instead of having our mind stayed on the Lord, trusting Him that He's going to take care of the situation. And the biggest answer and the biggest thing that you need from your prayer request that you're going to see today is the peace of God. Not whether it's yes or no, it's going to answer this prayer request, whatever. The biggest thing that we need to understand and getting from prayer is peace. Now, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, our text for today. We'll read it, and we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll get started on what we need to see today. In Philippians chapter 4, in verse 6 and 7, it says this: "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, you see that the response as far as the prayer is concerned in verse 6 is getting the peace that passes all understanding. That's that perfect peace. That's what we really need. And today we're looking at 2 points. Verse 6 will be dealing with supplications, obviously dealing with prayer. And then verse 7 dealing with serenity as we talk about priests. But before I pray, I want you to understand this about Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It's a command of God. It's not something that is, you know, if you had the time or just a suggestion or, you know, God needed to fill some space up in His Bible so He throws this out there. No, it is a command from God to us that we're supposed to do. It says, again, be careful for nothing. That's a command. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's a command. Let your requests be made known unto God. That's a command. The whole verse is what God is commanding us to do. He wants us to do this. He doesn't want us to sit here and be fretting and being worried about whatever is going on in our life, whatever is going on in the world, whatever is going on at work, whatever is going on in the family. He wants us, He commands us to be careful or full of care for nothing, no matter what it is. So this is what we need to understand. We need to understand His command and to be obedient to it. Not just today, but every day that we're walking on this planet. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started with the Lord. What have us to see? Father in heaven, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for this passage, these verses, right now, this day, October 4th, 2020. Father, you knew from the founding, before ever the earth was, what would be going on in the United States on October 4th, 2020. You knew full well what was going to be going on this week, not just in our country, not just in the world, but even in our personal lives. And you know that we need this message today. Father, I pray that you would help us to clear our hearts and minds. Help us to be focused on you and your word. Help us to understand what we need to do in following this command, so that we can have that peace that passes all understanding, that perfect peace. Lord, help us today, at this moment, to have our mind stayed on you. Help us, Lord, to trust in you, trust your word. Help us, Lord, to not have our flesh get in the way. This is an important message, probably one of the most important messages that can be preached this year, at this time. So, Lord, help us to hear it, help us to internalize it, help us to obey your word that you're giving us today. I'd ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says this, be careful for nothing. As I said, don't be full of care. And it's so often that we do exactly that. We, instead of giving it to God, we take it on ourselves and we get full of care. We got all these things that we think about that play on us. We think about what, again, what's going on at home, what's going on at work, what's going on in our loved ones' lives. We got all these things, what's going on in the world. We turn to the news and we're bombarded by all kinds of things of just doubt and darkness and, you know, who knows what's going to happen. I mean, and we get full of care instead of really just talking to God about it. Well, I want to give you a couple of verses that deal with being careful, all right, and not being careful, actually. I want you to turn back to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah real quick. This is Jeremiah chapter 17. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17, and we're going to look down in verses 7 and 8. And one of the things that God does in His Word as you make your way there is that God compares man to a number of things in the Bible, but one of those things is dealing with that of a tree. All right, and God's word is like a picture book, especially in the Old Testament, and He shows us and He teaches us by association. So in Jeremiah chapter 17, we're looking at verses 7 and 8, we're seeing where, again, somebody who is trusting in the Lord is compared to a tree that's in the middle of even a drought or desert time. And so you look in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, it says this, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. All right, we just, from our introductory verse in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, we saw that we're trusting in the Lord, our mind is stayed on Him, we get that perfect peace. Notice what it says here, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green and shall not be, notice, careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. This tree, for the person that is trusting in God, is like a tree that's planted by the waters. And this tree doesn't have to worry about being careful in the time of drought. In other words, this tree is not having to kind of ration out water to be able to survive through the drought. Matter of fact, in the midst of the drought, this kind of tree, this kind of person that trusts in the Lord, is bearing fruit. The leaves are not withering, they're bearing fruit. Other trees may be dying and everything like that, and their fruit dying on the vine, but this tree, because they're trusting in God, this person is trusting in God, not careful. I don't have to reserve and hold back any water. I don't have to worry about it. I'm going to have all the water that I need because the Lord's taking care of me, and I'm going to be fruitful. Well, you see, that's what we need to be in understanding. And guess what? In the Bible, guess what water is a picture of? The Word of God. The Word of God is our water source. That's why it doesn't matter really what goes on in the world, no matter how bad it may ever get. If I'm trusting in the Lord and I'm tapped into my water source, the Word of God, I don't have to be careful in the midst of this drought. I'm still going to bear fruit. That doesn't have anything to do with me. It has to do with God and His Word. I want to give you another story. Let's go over to the book of Daniel. Let's continue on to the right. After Jeremiah, you have the book of Lamentations. The book of Ezekiel. Why don't you go to Daniel chapter 3. Might seem familiar. This is dealing with Nebuchadnezzar and having this big golden statue that he has made and wants everybody to bow down and worship it. Everybody in his kingdom, including the Jews that were taken captive there. But there's three guys that were Jews that said, no, we're not doing that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want you to look at Daniel chapter 3. We're going to look at in verse 16 through 18. We'll see this word careful again. It says this, Daniel 3, starting in verse 16. And this is when, again, Nebuchadnezzar is confronting them. It's like, hey, what's going on? Because Nebuchadnezzar likes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, of course, Daniel. And he's like, wait a minute, what do I hear? You guys are not going to bow down when the music plays? You're supposed to bow down and worship this golden statue and everything like that? Notice the response that these three guys had. Again, Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. No, we're not full of care. It's not like we have to watch our words or kind of be politically correct in what we're going to say. We know exactly what we're saying here, and we're not going to be apologetic about it. And he goes on and says in verse 17, it says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They were not careful in their answer. They knew exactly what they were going to say. They knew they were going to stand on the truth because that's what the Word of God laid out for the Jews. They're not supposed to have any other gods before God. They're not supposed to bow down to any idols. And guess what? There were other Jews there that obviously, guess what they did? Bow down to that golden statue even though they knew what the Word of God said. Shadrach, Meshach, then he goes, hey, I'm not careful in this. This is what I'm going to do. And by the way, here in America, we don't necessarily think about that. Well, we're going to have somebody come and, you know, a king come or something like that, or government official and say, hey, you need to bow down and worship the statues. We're not worried about that. But this has been an interesting year, hasn't it? This has been a year that's been like, we've been talking about it. It's like, government's trying to say, well, we shouldn't go to church. You know, might get COVID if you go to church. What it comes down to is like and saying, hey, there's absolutely no church anymore. You cannot go to church. What will we do? What if they say, you know what? You can't have this Bible anymore because it's a relic. It's going against the thing. It has hate speech in it. If you have a Bible, you're off to jail. And they come here to Faith Bible Church and they say, hey, you got to stop preaching. You got to stop having church. You got to get rid of the Bible. What are we going to do? Are we going to be careful? And how we answer, or be like, I'm not careful at all. I know, I guess you're carting me off to jail, and when you go to jail, guess what? I'm going to preach there too. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were not careful. King Nebuchadnezzar, leader of the world at that time. Burning body first. Oh, we're not careful. We know exactly what we're going to say. We're not doing that. We know our God can deliver us, and if he doesn't, we're still not doing that. They're not careful. Why? Because the relationship that they had with the Lord, obviously they had peace about what they were saying. They were all unified in following the Lord, no matter the opposition that they were facing. I want to give you another example of being careful. This time, go to the New Testament. I want you to go to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, we're going to pick it up down in verse 38. Luke, chapter 10, starting in verse 38. You make your way there, give you a little bit of the context. This is dealing when Jesus is in town, and Martha and Mary, they're there. Jesus is in the house, and let's see what happens here with Martha. And actually Mary as well. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. It says this. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. Now I want you to understand the language here. It's not just that Mary sat at Jesus' feet. She also sat at Jesus' feet. That means that Martha did as well. They were both ladies or sisters that sat at Jesus' feet to hear the Word of God from the Word of God. How awesome would that be? How awesome that would be. So get that in mind. Now we move on, and it says this in verse 40. It says, but contrast, Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him, to Jesus, and said, Lord, dost thou not, interesting, care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What's Mary doing? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing the Word of God. Now Martha also sits at the feet of Jesus, but she's not doing that. She's like, I gotta serve, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, that, and the other. And it's like, oh my gosh, I gotta do all these things all by myself. Lord, do you not care? That sound familiar? How often we get so careful in all the things that are going on in our life, and we fail to talk to God about it, and then when we do talk to God about it, we get mad at Him and say, obviously you don't care, God. Us human beings, in our sinful nature, we do that all the time. Martha should also have been at Jesus' feet. It's like, and when she's going to Jesus, like, hey, can you do something? Can you get Mary over here to help me? Jesus responds, oh, you're careful and troubled about many things. I am not going to take what Mary's doing away from her. And it's like Martha really should have been focused on that. We get so focused on the temporal things and forget about the eternal. Forget about our relationship and our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and spending time with Him in the Word. It doesn't mean that we don't do our responsibilities and take care of things. That's not the issue. But our priority should always be the Lord first. That should be our priority. I remember when I was thinking about this. After I accepted Christ as my Savior, I was 19 years old. I was after my freshman year in college, my sophomore year in college. But one of the things I decided to do was, like, even though I had a ton of homework, I was going to put the Word of God first. I'm going to spend my time reading, studying in the Word of God first, and then I'll take care of all my school stuff. And I just made that a habit because I never wanted to get into a place to where I do all this school work and all these things I got to do. Oh, I'll get to God, I'll read your Word, and get to the end of the day, then I don't. Or I'm so tired that when I'm reading, I don't get anything out of it. Just the idea and the habit of trying to put God's Word first, something that has stuck with me, still I do today. But she's careful about so many things, and troubled, instead of just giving those things to the Lord and sitting at His feet to hear His Word like Mary. Now, let's go over to our text again. Talk about being careful. Again, This is a command that we're not supposed to be careful, full of care, whatever that concern, whatever you're worried about, we need to give it to God. And that's what this verse says. Verse 6, again, Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing. There should not be anything that is troubling us that we don't give it to God. We shouldn't hold on to it. Be careful for nothing, but, contrast, in everything by prayer. Everything. Not just, you think, the major things that need to be prayed about. Everything. If it's causing you concern, care, anxiety, you're fretting over it, talk to God about it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Prayer is just simply just talking to God about it. It's not even necessarily that you're asking anything. You're just talking to the Lord about it. Supplication is specific requests that you may have. And it says, with thanksgiving. That's important. Let your requests be made known unto God. Don't forget to be thankful, but talk to God about it. To talk to Him. Just like you talk to a friend, your spouse, whatever the case is. Just talk to Him. Lord, this is what's going on. This is what I'm dealing with. This is what's on my heart. This is what's burdening me. Let me talk to you about it. Lord, I know what it says over here in your word talks about this, and Lord, I want you to remember, can you do that? I know you're the God of your word, can you help me in this situation? Just talk to Him, give Him those supplications, those requests, and don't forget to be thankful. I want you to go back to the book of Romans real quick. I want to give you a little bit of a few verses in just dealing with this idea of prayer and having an attitude of prayer all the time. I want you to go to Romans chapter 12 in verse 12. Romans chapter 12 in verse 12. It starts out this way, what we actually talked about last week in talking about rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Here in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, it starts off saying, rejoicing in hope. Remember last week we talked about no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, there's something that we can praise God for. We can rejoice, and we rejoice in our relationship with Him. But it says, rejoice in hope, patience in tribulation. Yes, we're going to go through some tough times, continually instant in prayer. You're ready to pray about it. Something happens, something comes up, boom, first thing you do, you pray about it. You're talking to God about it. All right? No matter what it is. I remember a time, this is going way back. This is going back to 1994. Trish and I living in Kansas City and getting ready to move to Canada. Missionaries there. Our son was 2 years old, and it was a busy time. We were in the midst of, we were discipling a church. Our church at the time that we went to, we did discipleship conferences in different places in the United States and in the world. And we're preparing for one that was just in the inner city. It wasn't going out of Kansas City anywhere, but just going to an inner city church to do our discipleship ministry. So we are training a team to do that. We're in the midst of all that, in the midst of just getting things ready and prepared to go to Canada, in the midst of selling our house here. I'd gone up to Canada and found an apartment in a weekend, which was a miracle in itself. I mean, just to go up there for a weekend and find an apartment in the town that we lived in. I had no idea what I was really getting myself into. And the pastor that I was working with was like, this is amazing that you've been able to find something like this in a weekend. But I already did that down, first and last month rent up there and everything like that. I come back, we're discipling the church, and just all kinds of things going on. And the lady who was going to buy our house, she was part of our ministry that we had in Kansas City, and she got a special loan and so forth, but then she called us up and says, they're not going to give us the rest of the loan for me to buy the house. I'm like, okay. I'm driving around, taking care of things I need to take care of, to continue to move, and I will never forget my prayer to God. I said, God, you're the one that called us to Canada. I got money already down, you know the deal and everything like that. This is not my problem. This is your problem. So I pray to God. God's my witness. Like, this is, you're the one who did this. I did not, you're the one who called us to Canada to minister. And you know everything that needs to happen. It's like, this is not my problem. This is your problem. And I went about that day continually prepared to move my family to Canada. The next day, the lady that was buying her house called and said, the bank's going to take care of it. Sometimes we get afraid to pray. We harbor it all in ourselves like God doesn't know.
Have you ever been mad at God? I have been. You think I can keep that from God?
He knows. Might as well talk to him about it. You read the book of Psalms?
David, I mean, he goes through almost every human emotion that you can deal with. You see David angry with God. What's David doing? He's praying to him about it. He's talking to God about his word about it.
God knows everything you think. Why not talk to him about it? Is it doing you any good harboring all that concern in your heart? Is it doing you any good? Is it going to solve the problem? No.
Why don't we talk to the one that can solve it?
Talk to the Lord about it. Why are we always just so full of care? I want you to go over to Ephesians chapter 6. You might be aware, Ephesians chapter 6, this is dealing with the armor of God. I mean, the book of Ephesians is the warfare book, spiritual warfare, and we are in the midst of a spiritual warfare. We talked about that this year. This is a warfare. All this COVID stuff and everything's going on, I'm not downgrading it. We need to be careful with it and so forth and so on. I understand all that. But this is something that Satan loves to use to keep people away from each other, again, to be all fretting about what's going on instead of just focus on a relationship with the Lord. Well, part of the armor of God, the seventh piece of the armor of God, is prayer. And notice what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 6, down in verse 18. Praying always. Now that's different than what we saw last week, the word always. We talked about rejoicing the Lord always. That's the old English word that means all the way, the amount, everything you got, you're praying. But this is always, as far as time is concerned. We should always be in an attitude of prayer. Again, verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. You get that word supplication several times over.
Paul is saying, hey, you've got to be praying. Praying for each other. All right? Supplication and so forth.
But it says praying always in prayer. And then he says watching. I love that. How many of us pray to God, but we're really not watching for Him to answer that prayer?
I'm a Christian, so I guess I should pray. Let me pray. Lord God, blah, 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 blah. Please help me with this. But you're not watching for Him to answer that prayer.
We do it out of rote. We do it out of tradition. We do it out of whatever. I'm a Christian. I guess I'm supposed to do that.
But if we're praying with intent, knowing that God is going to answer, then He's a God that answers prayer.
It's part of spiritual warfare. We need to be praying. Satan doesn't want you talking to God. Because then, you know, you start getting things figured out. Start talking to the Lord and you're going to be in the Word of God, watching for those answers. I mean, Satan doesn't want that. Any of you ever understand anything about warfare? Now, again, I have not been in the military or anything like that. In policing, yes, but not military. But there's one thing I understand. I remember back when it was the Iraq War, you know, and the first one. And one of the things that they do, not just the Iraqi war, but other wars, is they try to go for what? Communication. If I can knock out the communication of the leaders and the troops, then they're going to be in disarray, and I can take advantage of that. In a warfare, communication is one of the first things they try to attack. What's our communication with God? It's His Word, and it's prayer. And there's so many Christians that, I've got to say it, their life is so out of whack because communication is gone, and they allow the enemy, Satan, to do that. Oh, you don't need to be in the Word of God. Well, this is how God speaks. Right? You're not going to go outside and, God, speak to me, and we go outside and all of a sudden you see the etch-a-sketch in the sky, and God's using the clouds to give you an answer. It doesn't work that way. It's not that that God is going to come down and sit in your home and like, okay, here's what I need you to do, Charles. It's not going to be that way. How is He going to answer us? How is He going to speak to us? He speaks to us through His Word. And how are we going to speak to God?
By praying.
That's communication. That's why it's part of the armor of God in dealing with spiritual battle.
Most Christians are feckless in doing what God wants them to do because they're not in communication with the Lord.
So many Christians are cumbered about with so much anxiety and stress and so forth. Why? Because they're not in communication with the Lord. I want to give you another reference. We saw it last week, but I want you to see it again. I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 16 through 18. These little commands that God, or the Lord, or Paul, has given to the Thessalonians, to end this book. And it says this, starting in verse 16. So 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16, it says this: rejoice evermore. We saw that last week. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Want to know what the will of God is? Well, it says it right there. In everything, give thanks. Now, I know that can be hard. Remember, we talked about this last week, about dealing with rejoicing. We, as humans, we go through some tough things, and especially if you're a believer in Christ, and you're trying to serve the Lord and get close to Him, you are going to go through some things. We go through things because we're human beings, and we live on an earth in a world that is cursed. But when we go through things as Christians, if we're seeking to serve the Lord, Satan's going to make sure that we go through tribulations. It's like, am I supposed to still give thanks? Yeah, and everything give thanks. Because if there's nothing else, like I said last week, you can be thankful for your relationship with the Lord. It doesn't mean that I'm necessarily thankful that my tire blew out, or thankful that I love my Ford Fusion. But I tell you what, ever since I bought that car, I've had to have the windshield replaced because a rock kicked up from the highway and hit it. I've had the bumper replaced twice because of that evil animal called a raccoon, and then somebody just hit my bumper the first time and had to get it replaced. I'm sorry, you guys know, I do not like raccoons. I mean, they have caused havoc in my life. But God has placed them on this planet so I can be thankful. He can teach me patience with it. We go on our vacation, I get hail damage. I'm still waiting to get that dealt with. It's like, there's always something. Am I thankful for those things? No. But I am thankful that God took care of it. The hail damage could have been worse. All right? It could always be something else, whatever. I'm thankful that I have a God that takes care of me. I'm thankful that God gives us, you know, the means and ability to have a job, to be able to pay for these things, give us good insurance, so forth. There's so many things I can be thankful for. It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. I'm going to be thankful in everything. I want to give you one more reference to dealing with prayer before we go back to Philippians chapter 4. I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, since we're right here in the neighborhood. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 1. In everything, praying, giving thanks. Got to be thankful. Thanking God for the things that He has done for us. All right. So often, I mean, it's like, I'm just reminded of this actually last night at work, a particular person I was just talking to, but how many times have you done something for somebody and, they don't thank you? How does that make you feel? I didn't even say thank you. Good night. I wanted to borrow it? Well, what about God? We ask God to do something, God does something, and we don't even turn around and say, thank you, Lord. Being thankful. Well, notice this one. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. You got four different categories of prayer. Supplications, again, there's a specific request. Prayers, just generally talking to God, just like you're not necessarily asking for anything, you're just talking to Him. Hey, Lord, what's up? How you doing? Just talking to God. Intercessions. You're praying on the behalf of somebody else. You're not focused on your own needs. You're focused on the needs of others. And giving of thanks. Have you ever just had a prayer time where you didn't ask anything? You just thank God? Just thank Him for all the things He's doing. And it says, be made for all men. All men. No matter who they are. All means all. All right? If you want me to get like deep into the Greek here, it means all. All. Not some, all. Not the ones that you like, all. All men. And it says, for kings, verse 2, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Praying for our government officials. It doesn't matter who's the president. It doesn't matter what party's in power. It doesn't matter. Pray. Pray for them. And pray for the purpose of what? Having a quiet and peaceable life. If we were to continue on in this passage, it would say for the purpose that we can share Christ with others. And if there's ever a time that we need to be praying for our country, it is definitely now. It's not the first time I said that this year. And I'm reminded even more so this week. You know, it's not my job, or it's not my purpose as a pastor to be political or anything like that, but as a Christian, as we've read, we have a biblical responsibility to pray for our leaders, no matter who they are. Because none of us want to live in anarchy. We've seen what that looks like this year. Turn on the TV and go to some particular cities that they don't want any kind of authority, and they're burning down things and have all kinds of excuses of why they're doing it. None of us want to live in a situation like that, and we can be thankful that we're not dealing with anything like that. But there are places in our country that are. We need to pray for government leaders. Why? So we can live a quiet and peaceable life, that we have the opportunity to share the truth with others. If the things of this world, the things of our country, the things of this presidential election is causing you care and concern, what do we need to do about that? Pray. We need to pray. Ask God to take care of some things. If you go back to Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 6 and talking about supplication. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. He wants to hear from you. He's commanding us to talk to Him about the things that we have in our heart, the requests that we have. He wants us. He's commanding us to do that. He wants to hear. It's not like God is so busy keeping the stars and the planets aligned and so forth that He doesn't have time for you. He does. He wants to hear from you all the time. And because God is all-powerful and all-knowing and all-present, it doesn't matter what time of the day, it doesn't matter what time of the night, He's ready to hear you. I am so blessed. With the job that I have and the Lord has given me, I am so blessed. And shame on me when I complain about having nothing to do at my work. There are times, well, there's a lot of time, actually, pretty much almost every time I go to work. There are times. I get my work done. I get all my work done, and then there's nothing left to do, and I've got 5 hours that I'm just getting paid to be there. We got to be there. I mean, that's state regulation. We have to be there. I'm getting paid a good salary just to be there. And it's like one of my times that I have, usually do it a couple times during the night, I walk around the whole facility. It's time for me to pray. Usually I do it after I have lunch, have my time in the Word of God, and I'll go and just walk around, get my steps in, trying to stay healthy, and I'm able to talk to God. Walk and talk. Talk about what's going on. Talk about what He just showed me in the Word of God. Pray about this message. Think about this message. Meditate on it. Lord, what would you have me to say specifically? It's time to be able to talk. He's there. He's not like, Charles, get to me in the morning time. Michael and Gabriel, we're playing a game of Parcheesi, all right? I don't even know what Parcheesi is. I don't know how it is. He's not that. He's ready to hear you no matter what time of day or night it is. No matter what's going on, He's ready. And He commands us to pray. And then it's the next thing in verse 7, serenity. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, so keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Now listen to me. You cannot experience the peace of God until you have peace with God. What do you mean by that? If you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not at peace with God. Because sin separates us from God. We have a sin problem because of Adam. Going all the way back to Adam and everybody born after Adam, we are born with a sinful nature. And sin separates us from God. And the wages of sin is death, as it says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There are some good-hearted people out there that you know, they're trying to do right. They want to try to have peace in their life, you know, and they're seeking things out, but they have never
had a personal relationship with the Lord. They've never taken that time to sit down and ask Jesus Christ into their heart. And understanding that they have a sin problem, that sin separates, and they understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sin. See, that has to be taken care of first. You got to have peace with God to be able to experience the peace of God.
Well, do you have a Bible text for that? Well, yes, I do. I want you to go back to Romans, this time chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not going to be through Buddha. It's not going to be through Islam. It's not going to be through a number of different denominations that claim themselves to be Christians, but they're not following the truth of the Word of God. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In John chapter 14 and verse 6. And having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are justified or declared right before God. All right? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I remember times growing up. I told you before, I had a temper. I told you that like a week ago, I think. And there's times I got into with my dad, especially in those teenage years. You know, when you're grown, you think you know everything. Oh, man, I remember one time I got in my dad's face. My dad still has muscles, but he's 87 years old. Right? He grabbed me. I'm like, in that middle of that, it's like, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I've done something wrong. There was no peace between us until I rectified the situation. I had no business getting in my father's face and arguing with him. I didn't even know what was over. But there was no peace until I dealt with that. And that's the same thing with God the Father. As a human being without Christ, there's no peace there. There's not a relationship. He's God, but he's not your father. All right? And we're not at peace until we do what? We accept by faith what Jesus Christ has done for us in paying our sin debt. When we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we have peace with God, and that gives us the access of having peace of God no matter what time of the day it is. We can have the peace of God. We're in Romans. I want you to go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 6 real quick. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6 says this. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, when we think about being carnally minded, we automatically, it's easy for us to go through all the dark sins and this and that, and it's like, oh man, that's so carnal, that is so bad, that is so wrong, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it is. But let me just share this with you. To be carnally minded is simply that you're going through life thinking how you can deal with things. You're not in tune with what God wants you to do. You're not in touch with His mind. This is being spiritually minded. It's the idea of simply, I'm going to go about doing it my own way. And it may not be anything, in a sense, you think grossly wrong or bad or anything like that, but when the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, right? This is the mind that we need to have. Spiritually minded, not carnally minded. Alright? If there's a problem, like I said, if I had a problem between my father and some other relationship or something like that, it's like, I'll just take care of myself. I'm gonna disregard what the Word of God says. I got this, I'll take care of myself. That's being carnally minded. I remember a time when it's like, I thought, okay, alright, God, I know you're Lord of my life, I was just saved. Again, especially being in college. It's like, you handle all this stuff, but I'll take care of the love life. I will find my wife. I'll take care of this. I know what I'm looking for. And anytime I tried to find a girlfriend or something like that, it never worked out. I was being carnally minded, trying to think of it on my own, what I need to do, instead of trusting God. And when I got to the point that I said, you know what? I'm done with women. I'll never get married. I'm just going to focus on ministry, just like you told Adam to take care of the garden. I'll do, and it so fits you, God, that you're going to give me a wife, then that'll be fine. As soon as I came to that, I had a Boy Scout camp. Who leads your wife at a... Well, maybe you do today because there's girls in Boy Scouts now. But at the time I was in Boy Scouts, you don't think about meeting your wife at a Boy Scout camp. And I am most certain that Tristan thinks she's going to meet the man of her dreams. when I submitted to just trusting God that He will take care of, being spiritually minded, hey, God, you brought Eve to Adam, and then I just need to trust you in that. As soon as I submitted myself to that, that's when Trish came into my life. All right? So just don't think about being carnally minded as being, oh, you know, you're doing this, this, that, and the other, and thinking this, that, and the other. Yeah, it's that. But it's also thinking that you're just going to handle your stuff on your own. I'll take care of it. That's being carnally minded. And what's the result of being carnally minded? Death. But what's the result of being spiritually minded? Life and what? What do we want? Peace. Peace. Even in the midst of trying times. To continue on, I know there's so much we can go to, and I'm trying to wind down here, but I want you to go to Colossians real quick. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 15 and 16. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. So we're over in Philippians. The next book after that is Colossians, and I want you to look in chapter 3, down in verse 15. It says this, it's a command, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and here we go again, and be ye thankful. And I want verse 16 because it connects it with the Word of God. It says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Because I wanted to have that combination of understanding that we can't get away from the Word of God. But it says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Here's our problem as Christians sometimes. It's like, yeah, I'm a Christian, and we make that, well, that's a part of my life, instead of it being your life. The book of Colossians even talked about that earlier in chapter 3. I'm not going to take the time to go there now, but if you want to, just go back to the beginning of chapter 3 of Colossians, and you'll see where Christ is not just a part of our life, He is our life. Christianity is not just on Wednesday. It's not just on Sunday. It's 168 hours a week. It's 24/7. Right? And we need to let the peace of God rule in the heart. Not whatever is bothering you. Not whatever concern or care or whatever is frustrating. Don't let that rule. No, talk to God about that. Get rid of that and let God's peace rule in our heart. You go over to 2 Thessalonians this time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 16. It's a lot of 3:16s. Most people just think of John 3:16. That's a great 3:16. All right, it is. But there's some other great 3:16s in the Bible. This is one of them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. And this is a church that was going through all kinds of persecutions as they were standing on the truth of the Word of God. And Paul is ending this book and he says this in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now, the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The Lord of peace, He can give you peace by all means. I remember a particular time in Canada. We lived there. We lived in an apartment building that was across from this pond that had a creek that ran through it. And I loved being outside, Frank. And especially just being in the woods and so forth and like that. And I would hike the trail back to where there's this little waterfall. Sometimes you'd have a trout going upstream in the springtime, this huge fish. I mean, you guys know how much I love fishing. Just seeing those trout go up the stream was incredible. But there was one time I was out there and just, seeing a hawk and just seeing God's nature. And it's just like, it's tough being on a mission field, it was. But just seeing in just God's creation and praying to Him, it's like, man, give me some peace. Another time being in Kansas City, I had again another lake not far from where I used to teach karate and so forth, and I remember having to look across the lake and all of a sudden there's a bald eagle and I see it take off flying. I'm like, it just reminded me of Isaiah chapter 40. Going through a tough time, so where does an eagle represent and how they fly? God's able to renew yourself, give you that rest, give you that peace. The Lord of peace is able to give you peace by all means. And it's always going to be tied back to His Word or something like that. Maybe God wants to use you to bring somebody else peace in their life by a word, by something that you say. That's why I enjoy Wednesdays, especially when we're, sharing what the Lord has laid on your heart and in your life. I mean, it edifies. It gives us peace. Let me do this. I want to finish up with one last passage. I want you to go to the Gospel of Mark. Now, I've been a little bit longer than I normally am, but there's just so much in this that we need to understand. This is perhaps one of my favorite passages of Scripture in all the Bible. I mean, it's like, well, Charles, every time you preach to us, you tell us about your favorite passage of Scripture. So, well, yeah, it's all kind of good. I mean, you know, it's all kind of good. It's like, you know, I'm not too crazy about the book of Judges. You've never heard me say, I got this is my favorite passage in the book of Judges. that book is dealing with sin all over the place. But Mark chapter 4, I want you to pick it up in verse 35. Love this passage. Preached it a couple of times. Once I was in Belize on a mission trip. But every time I come back to it, it seems like the Lord just shows me something a little new with this. But I want you to know, starting in verse 35, we're going to end with this. And same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And I want you to keep that in mind, what Jesus says. It's his word. Let us pass over unto the other side. In verse 36, it says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took them even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Keep that in mind. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. I mean, this full of water in their ships. And these other little ships are having the same thing happen. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. You can literally say that God was asleep. Jesus, right? He's the God-man, 100% man, 100% God, God's asleep. Think about that. And he's at peace. He's got his pillow. I don't know if it's a My Pillow. Probably wasn't a My Pillow. You see that advertised all the time on TV. Probably wasn't that. Well, it was his pillow. Anyhow. He's at peace. He's like, man, I'm comfy. I'm going to sin. It's been a long day of ministry. So his bed, that's a boat, is now a waterbed boat. He's still asleep. And what are the disciples doing? They're panicking. We continue on. In verse 38, again it says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, careth thou not that we perish? We have no idea what these disciples were trying to do to keep the water out of the boat. I don't know if they're taking off their sandals, trying to scoop the water out. I don't know. I don't know if they had a bucket with them. I don't know. We don't know. But obviously, it wasn't the first thing that they did was get God up. It was when they think they're getting ready to die, and of course, it's how human nature. God, don't you care? I'm dying here. Were you asleep? In this case, he was. So what does Jesus do? Verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Every time I read that, I can imagine what that must have been like. Raging waves in the sea, just filling the boats up. And remember, there's other little ships that are with them. You think about their testimony in all this. Think about when you're going through the storms of life, there are other people around that are watching, especially if they know you're Christian. They're going to see how you're handling it. Is your faith real? Do you really trust God? Is your mind stayed on Him? Are you in perfect peace through all these trials and tribulations? Other people are watching how you go through that tribulation. Is your God real? Or is it just a religion? Verse 40. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? I'm going to tell you why they didn't have faith. I'm going to tell you why we don't have faith when we're going through tribulations. Because the Word of God says this in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We call this church Faith Bible Church. That's one of our verses that we have on our website and so forth. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The reason why they didn't have any faith, because they didn't hear God's Word. Verse 35. Go back there. And the same day, when the even was come, He, Jesus, God, saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. That's the Word. He didn't say, maybe we'll pass over. We're going to get started this journey. I don't know if we're going to make it or not. He doesn't say that. He said, let us pass over to it. If God says we're going to pass over to the other side, guess what's going to happen? You're going to pass over to the other side. Now, there may be all kinds of tribulations. There may be the storms of life that come up. But you have God with you, and He told you you're going to pass over to the other side. God, you called me to Canada. There's some stuff going on here. Take care of it. Okay, Charles. As long as you have faith in me, I'll take care of it. Verse 41. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? No matter whatever physical circumstance that you're dealing with today, it can't override what God wants. The Lord says, peace be still. He'll take care of whatever physical trial that's going on. Now, I know it'll be like, you know, we want to get it taken care of right now, right quick. Look at this. I mean, that's my personality. Got something to do? I get it done quick. I want it done quick. The Lord says, yeah, hey, I want you to go do something. Okay, let's get after it. But then there's some things, there's got timing involved. The point is, it's like, we can't sit here not having any faith, not trusting in Him. If we want to have the prescription of peace in our life, if we want to have that perfect peace, that peace that passes all understanding, what do we need to do? From the very first verse we looked at today, we've got to have our mind stayed on Him. Real quickly, back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7 again, because here's the deal. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, so keep your heart and your mind sound through Christ Jesus. Your heart deals with what? Your emotions. Your mind deals with your thoughts. And a lot of times we don't even see God's answer to the prayer because we got all of our emotions mixed up. We got all of our thoughts all over the place. And we don't spend the time like we need to in the Word of God. It's exactly what we need is God's Word and praying to Him. Get the care out of us. Talk to God about it so that He can keep our hearts and minds and give us that peace that passes all understanding. When I'm going through a tough time, a challenging time, it's not like, okay, God, I need you to take care of this. God, I want you to take care of this. But you know what I need most? God, give me your peace. Let the peace of God rule in my heart. Lord, help me to be spiritually minded, not carnally minded, trying to think of ways to deal with this on my own, like the disciples did in that boat. Lord, I need your peace. He commands us to do it. And the only way we're going to have this perfect peace is what? Got to keep our mind stayed on Him. Time in the book, time in prayer, no matter what time of the day, no matter what trial or tribulation that comes up, Lord, I need to talk to you about it. Lord, I got this going on. Lord, I know you care for me. I know you care. I know you love me. Lord, please help me with this, and I am so thankful that I can talk to you about it. Lord, I'm so thankful that you know, the last time I came to you in prayer about something that you answered, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God, I can talk about this, and I can dip into different times of my life that the Lord has literally done that for me over and over again. I'm telling you, this is real. It is real. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I come to you right now just thinking there's no way I've done any kind of justice in laying out these verses. There's no way. Father, I wish it would be that you would come down and that you preach to us, that we could be like a Mary and a Martha, to be able to sit at your feet and hear you teach us and preach your word to us. But that's not what you've decided to do. But you've given us your word. Anytime we want to know, man, what's God thinking? What are you thinking about things? All we have to do is open your book, talk to you about it. Lord, help this message to be a reality in our life, and not just for today, not even just this week. But it needs to be a reality as long as we are living on this planet. We need to have your perfect peace. As believers in Christ, we have peace with you, but we need the peace of you, the peace of God, on a daily basis. There's a lot of things that we struggle with. And I don't know everything that is going on in people's lives. I don't. But I know just from my life, from being a human being on this planet, the things that I struggle with, Lord, I need your peace in my heart and in my mind, and letting that peace rule in my heart. Help me to be spiritually minded, Lord. I need those things. So I've got to talk to you about what's going on so I'm not full of care. Lord, help this to be a reality, not just to the ones here, those who are listening online and those who are listening and hear this message in the future, whatever it is, Lord, that you would speak to each and everyone's heart. And help us every day keep our mind stayed on you. Help us to trust you. Help us to have faith because we spend time in your word. Let us not be saying you don't care or do you care or questioning your care for us. Lord, over and over again in your word, you say that you care. We need to trust that. And trust that you will answer our problems and give us the peace that we need to see us through. We will get to the other side of whatever tribulation and trial that's going to go on, has gone on, will go on. We will get through it. Not because of us, because of you. All you ask us to do is trust you. Help us to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.